Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to my information about my Arcus universe versus Big Bang Cosmos favorite presently. I am Heinz Joachim Eckermann from Germany. I studied in natural science, being a private researcher about formation of the universe and its philosophical matter that exists from mass and energy, corresponding my opinion. Today, many people tell about the concept matter simply meaning massive things. There is not enough time to explain everything. I also refrain from quoting out of my own and other books because here I am speaking from memory about most important points. I shall not read from anything except my bullet points on the topic. Therefore, I'll only quote it once because it is necessary. How did the Big Bang theory actually come about? Especially since there were previous ideas about the universe that resembled a primordial atom. An atom would have made sense and represented an order, like the periodic table of chemical elements. What is Big Bang? An original big explosion producing elementary dust escaping next to light speed should have condensed into galaxies. Those objects should continue away from each other next to light speed. Yes, although it seems absurd, physics stuck to it. There are several reasons for this. However, one of them has not yet been disproven. This is the Doppler shift of the electromagnetic spectrum, named of the physicist Christian Doppler. You can find a perfect explanation online. I'll try to explain it briefly now. You certainly know the shift of the sound. The source of the sound, here a car driving by, is approaching to you. This time you hear a higher tone when driving up than when driving away. The sound waves will be compressed when they hit you. Their wavelength becomes shorter, their frequency increases, the pitch rises. Such a process has the name blue shift, that is resulting from the shift of visible light. There are blue light waves when light is shifted to higher frequencies while the light source is coming to you. Vice versa, there are red colors of the light. Well, a red shift does not stop at red colors. If there is an extreme escape velocity, the wave is not light anymore, but it is a wave of high frequency, which you can receive on your radio. Isn't it crazy? Light waves can be stretched as much as they are not visible light anymore. Many decades ago, radio waves in the microwave range were discovered by chance, coming towards Earth from all directions. They were recognized as background radiation as expected, supposedly left over from the extremely hot Big Bang. This way, one thought having found the proof of the original bang. While expansion of that universe, the extremely high frequency should have been redshifted to about 3 Kelvin. Well, why do we speak about temperature in relationship to a frequency? Alexander Boltzmann, who received no recognition during his lifetime, had his equation immortalized on his gravestone. No, I had planned to do the two. But I'm still alive. His equation expresses the following. The average thermal energy of all particles of a body is also a measure of its temperature. He found the constant for this, which is called now the Boltzmann constant. This way you can calculate the frequency to an energy. Max Planck, for his part, discovered that radiation energy is simultaneously his constant times the frequency. According to Boltzmann, this energy can therefore be converted into a temperature. And this way, one found those 3 Kelvin next to the absolute zero point for the microwaves received. Physicists then constructed themselves their Big Bang universe by the help of that Doppler shift to red. Being arise from a pre-step of matter, they assumed from a kind of quantum foam it exploded to a uniform matter of dust, diverging of almost light speed from the state. Elementary particles should be crystallized. Physicists came up with many other ideas to support the Big Bang theory. Stephen W. Hawking had the craziest ideas among them. The best thing about this nonsense was the construction of pre-matter like quantum foam having to fill the infinity, expanding infinitely. That was good. For God and for finity, no place remained according to an ideology perfectly fitting to Lenin's opinion about religion. Well, it could simply not care what quantum foam actually is. Do we actually need to understand how universe works or how it came into being? Now it will be even better. During the process of elementary particles crystallized, fleeing away from each other, they should even have come together while clumping and attracting each other. Thus, they would gradually form enormous bodies, which, still fleeing with almost light speed, would create larger accumulations of dust. Oh, 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 oh. This way, stars arise, collecting to galaxies, which were still escaping with almost light velocity in vacuum. Louis de Funès would have responded in amazement. Mommy! After all, the well-known process of stellar transformations began. Heavier elements of the periodic table above hydrogen and helium were synthesized and all the other things. I'm astonished. You too? Let us have an example from our normal life. While you were moving away from your partner person so quickly during your dance that this person only saw a contrail of you, you still found each other escaping from each other. Does such an action fit into our reality? Or are we mistaken? This Big Bang should have created the complete universe. There were defenders and developers of this theory, but also early doctors like myself. In the year 1972, in the middle of my studies at the Technical University of Dresden, I stated briefly and concisely, this theory is the biggest load of nonsense I have ever heard. Since that time, I am searching for solutions leading to a different science, but I was left alone on this way. If there are theoretical problems, physicists looked for explanations solving them. They realized that the Big Bang could not actually have created the entire universe in its current size. It would have come to a standstill relatively soon after the bang and remained significantly smaller. The joke is that they speak of smaller size having infinite cosmos in their mind. How can infinity become smaller? What is smaller than infinity? Moreover, they invented the additional extension based on observations, concluding that the universe would continue to expand. It was possible to explain that closer galaxies would still escape with almost light speed if you established their redshift caused by Doppler shift of the spectrum. This so-called inflation theory was further refined and evolved into a standard theory of universe. Its creators received the Nobel Prize. Standard means something like this is the end now. There is nothing else. Keep other ideas away from us. As a result, many good ideas from other researchers, including my own, were excluded. Meanwhile, the James Webb Telescope has discovered galaxies, as to say, near the apparent Big Bang. They are extremely radiating. There is virtually no gas or dust between the individual celestial bodies. You should only expect something like that in very old systems that have had time to clear the dust. Surely there is already some simplistic Big Bang explanation for it. But I am with philosophy, with the observation of the world that have to reflect itself in its natural laws. I mean, what is out of touch with reality cannot be the world. Let us have a look at the philosophical law of the Big Bang cosmos. In short, it means that an explosion creates matter and energy, a contraction creates physical form. If this law were universally true, for example, then the explosion of an engine factory would create a four-cylinder engine. Wars would advance humanity by creating important goods in the explosions. Let us take the example of an apple seed. It would explode. Its dust would contract into an apple tree. Have you ever seen such events? No, I did not, too. In contradiction, I look into nature, full of admiration, like from an onion or a seed is growing, a young plant totally in order, as if it came from nothing, e.g. the amaryllis. Certainly, it is a program, a software. Inside the onion, the giant energy is already stored. The plant grows and blossoms. Other plants usually appear from their seeds as if by magic. Later they absorb matter and energy from the environment, from the dust. Yeah, conversely, dust never becomes a living body in universe. I myself think of the cosmos being a life form and an informational system spatially programmed. Everything here is living and spatial software. There are neither points or dots, zeros, nor infinity. On my way, I recognized, like Alexander Boltzmann, something very important in our existence. Everything is a package. It is there from the beginning of nature. Hence, I searched for the elementary and original state of that package of mass and energy. Finally, I found the equation of the elementarity of universal package. Physicists think it rather paradoxical, even though they themselves have developed many paradoxical things. Why is my paradox so terrifying to them that one of my writings, intended for publication, was rejected because of implausible physics? Since then, I have ignored scientific journals. I realized that absolute black holes cannot exist, just as heavy and inertial mass cannot reach the light velocity. Actually, that is only logical because the color black does not exist at all. Therefore, only dark gray holes exist, never completely closed, just approaching that sphere for a short time period. They represent unstable particles or cosmoses that can also fall apart very quickly. In the 1980s, I called them non-stationary black-white holes because they radiate extreme energy while the process of opening and unpack their perfectly ordered internal cosmos. I later called them precosms. For a better expression, protocosms. They are not absolutely black or white. They are packing up, becoming very, very dark, flying almost light velocity in vacuum, unpacking while radiating very, very brightly, stopping their flight to almost zero speed. Especially those protocosms that size has no limit are creating everything programmed we know inside our universe. Simply everything. They also catch everything while becoming dark gray. Their primary feature pack an enormous amount of mass and energy of elementary functions inside, quantizing the structures into subcosms, which are then repackaged into deeper cosms. Thus, a spatial creation program of the whole arises when the primary protocosms open up. Their internal life is quantized into a multiple matryoshka, just as the electron shell of an atom, but not equal to this. However, with extremely large large number of undersized portions. This brings us closer to the primordial atom than to the Big Bang. Internally, in that protocosm is much more than you could measure or observe from the outside. Imagine all the packages you know. There my equation arose, connected with the constant of the elementary state of a microcosm or a protocosm. The external mass or energy corresponds to the constant divided by internal mass or energy. In other words, external mass or energy are inversely proportional to the internal mass of energy of an elementary cosmos. This applies to protocosms, microcosms like neutrinos, electrons, and protons, but also to our entire finite universe. Finite. Yes, it is finite. Metrically and temporarily. Let mathematics speak. Infinity divided by any number is still infinity and not smaller infinity. We would all be infinite phenomena if the universe really extended infinitely. Physics explains elementary particles exclusively from the outside. They should be dot-like things. For example, so-called quarks would attach themselves there. But zero divided by any number remains zero. We all would be zero if the matter would exist from zeros. I just recognize that all these variants are perfect constructions honored with Nobel Prizes. But I think of the particles being real cosmoses. How? Is it possible that science based on exact mathematics could be so much mistake? Yes, that happens quite often. One of the best examples is the epicycle theory. It was a perfect mathematic theory established the geocentric worldview hundreds of years ago. The Earth is at the center of all the stars. It suited the church and supported the scholars who, thanks of their high level of learning, had developed this embarrassing theory. The church did not develop it. It all fits so nicely into their concept. Above all, the mathematics were perfectly correct. Is mathematics a proof? No, it is just an idealism. You can use it to calculate everything impossible, but everything possible. But you cannot prove anything. Mathematics can be a language of science through which their contents can be precisely communicated. Just as the epicycle theory did in the Middle Ages, the 20th and the 21st centuries have now had to experience the Big Bang theory and the standard theory of the elementary particles. But none of this fits to our world of experience, only with a screwed ideology. Another parable. We are furnishing an apartment. Everything is new and was neatly packaged. As it is finished, it is still clean. There is no sign of dust or dirt yet. But in 4 weeks, for example, if we have not done anything to keep it clean, we will then have dust and dirt. Consequently, it is correct to assume that programmed order existed at the beginning of the universe. Stars did not form themselves from dust. They were installed by their protocosms as fully formed, substructured, spatially programmed, quantized, and hierarchically arranged primordial stars along with their substructures. Only then, through their interactions and stellar explosions, according to the software of cosmos, they are forming gas clouds alongside the new stars. These clouds were just cleaned up by gravity in the following period. They were cleared away time after time. Physicists still believe that stars form themselves spontaneously from dust. I only can smile about it because it does not align with our experience of the environment. I say stars are formed from protocosms Just as life grows from germs and seeds, then they, too, gather dust, nutrients, and other celestial bodies. I created this unique term in homage to Einstein, the universe of arcs. Here, we are again at the point where the astrophysicist, as an observer of the cosmos, determined the universe shows absolutely no arcs. It would be completely flat. I find it amusing. We have been down this road before. The Earth was flat, after all. Einstein claimed that the sum of the interior angles of a triangle would not equal 180 degrees due to the curvature of all the lines. His premise would therefore be completely wrong. What do I say? If light from a star arrives us in a beam, we could imagine it comes through an optical fiber or light cable. We are the ones who ultimately look inside. Let us imagine, for comparison, that I was setting up to 100 meter fiber optic cable leading to a light source of a 100 meter track at the sports field. Now have a look inside again. Do you see any bends in the cable? I don't think so. Without you noticing, I'll wind the optical fiber onto a spool. Its path would now be extremely curved. Could you see or notice this curvature by looking into the optical fiber? I think you won't. But astrophysicists believe that this turn should be noticeable due to the interactions between stars. However, they have not actually traveled billions of light years along the outer surface of the stars directly, verifying the curvature. They mean having some clues. Well, let us see how long those clues last. I was told to go to hell with my elementary pecking theory. Max Planck found the best words for this, which I must quote here. God rest his soul. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it. Actually, where does the background radiation and the enormous redshift of the galaxy spectrum come from? Well, the first radiation leaving the protocosms is shifted into extreme red by the extreme gravity to this time. Albert Einstein predicted this gravity shift. He also urged us to go the way of relativity theory to its end. The exact quote you can find in my books or online. Who did what Einstein hoped for? Me. Who would be Einstein's best friend today? Me. Einstein the Great. He was not a very best student. Therefore, after graduating, he had to work in a patent office where he had time enough to ponder. He was able to formulate the light quantum theory and his special relativity theory. Posthumously, scientists attribute a very high intelligence quotient to him, sometimes more than 200. I was a better student than him and have an IQ of 143. Therefore, I think Einstein did not score much higher. So why do they exaggerate the IQ of good old Albert? My humorous explanation certainly is not serious. They inflate Einstein's IQ that their own should not fall down below 100. That is relativity. Corresponding to the solutions of my theory, galaxies do not escape from each other. They almost stand still in universe installed by protocosms moved invisibly to their place with almost light speed in vacuum. At such a location, they open up radiating waves of annihilations of matter and antimatter into the universe, first with strong redshift, later with a smaller redshift. If you now use Doppler's shift explaining this observation, you are certainly on the way to the cardinal error of astrophysics. Being a physicist, you may say protocosms are impossible because they cannot fly almost light speed and then slow down having a gigantic mass of black holes. Oh yes, I tell you, these objects are not static black holes. They are protocosms. Externally, they have less mass. Internally, there is a lot of mass. The mass of the theoretical black hole. This is a reciprocal. Consequently, the smallest protocosms, the stable microcosms too, have the biggest external mass, but internally less. Only small amounts of matter came out of them. The biggest of my elementary packages externally have very small mass, but a lot of it inside. From there, entire Hubble bubbles would escape into the universe. Attention! When such a protocosm opens up, the law of conservation of momentum applies. A tiny mass flies quickly, sometimes changing into a gigantic mass almost standing still. It is more difficult to accelerate heavier than lighter masses using the same amount of energy. Consequently, heavy protocosms reach significantly lower speeds than extremely light ones. For example, try kicking a stone ball instead of a soccer ball. Protocosms have the task to fall apart. They are opening. Correctly, they are unstable cosms. Saying unstable particles is a historical concept. I tell you, they are open cosms, just almost closed temporarily. While one single inside oscillation, they have to burst out again. For comparison, let us take two completely filled air balloons, one smaller, one bigger. Then we empty them both. Which one empties first? Which type of protocosms therefore opens first? Of course, the smallest ones. The entire program, but is no chaos. It follows the quantization principles as in the electron shell of an atom. Only there are stable electrons of the same negative elementary charge. That is a special condition. In universe, all charges are balanced. The energy levels consequently are not filled according to the equation 2n superscript 2 as in the electron shell, but 4n superscript 2. Each shell contains quadrupoles that completely compensate for all quantum numbers. In the electron shell, the quantization starts next to the core with n equals 1. This is central. The number of electrons increases enormously while increasing shell number. However, this does not fit to universe due to the instability of the protocosms. The smallest and most numerous protocosms decay first. This means for each protocosmic center, if in universe or in protons and electrons, that the sheer number of tiny protocosms opens during the start of the oscillation. An almost homogeneous radiation is running off, cooling out and shifting red by the gravity. This happens in the centers of all protocosms and their substructures. Countless sources of background radiation sprout from all directions and towards everyone. This opening cloud of the shell N against infinite, but finite broadcasts those special radio waves which have about 3 Kelvin of energy. There it is, the supposed Big Bang that was not such a one, but innumerable miniature bangs. Instead of big, I call them small bangs. They did not create the entire universe. Above every small bang, protocosms were flying up, becoming bigger lighter and faster along the distance of their progress, successively opening later, corresponding to Einstein's special relativity theory. Consequently, they arrived distances far away, and with their opening and their existence, they fooled entire generations of scientists, including those with the inflation theory. Protocosms of the shell N equals 1, practically 4 pieces, arrived the farthest distance. There they formed the most complex collections of galaxy clusters, which disappeared very quickly inside of their own protocosms. Wandering light perhaps could tell about them. So everything fits together, I say. There was no Big Bang, no escape of galaxies, no inflation, no Doppler's redshift. You can explain the universe just from relativity theory. Long live Einstein. Hubble number, you can also forget. One wanted to examine the distances according to the redshift. It is impossible now. On base of protocosms, I was able to explain the elementary particles being spatial or spherical microcosms. They are always little bodies, never dots. You never can prove them directly. Indirectly, it is possible by their interactions over wave energies. The smallest microcosms have the bigger restness. What happens then using my solutions in microcosms? The quarks disappear. They were off, and Heisenberg's uncertainty too. Long live the original quantum mechanics of Max Planck. He live long. Now you can also forget the dualism of particles and waves. Particles are spatially extended but incomplete microcosms, miniature universes. They oscillate, being oscillators, producing those waves for exchange between the oscillators. Particles are absolutely not the waves themselves. That opinion of mine also eliminates many unclear interpretations of quantum theory. No, we are not at the end. I have presented to you the primary process in the phase of the oscillating universe, ranging from the zero passage of the primary protocosms to their ascent in the vacuum body of our cosmos. After installation of the star system like newborn objects, every process is running very fast now. Inside of each center of a star, the protocosms substructured are ordered there hierarchically. Repeatedly, they open up by big thrust energy. This way, the smaller star systems and stars were born from bigger stars. Dust also formed, which now pollutes the universe while industrious celestial bodies collected. During this time, they quickly enrich their heavier chemical elements. Protoplanets from hydrogen are collecting dust and forming special planets. Actually, they also are deeply quantized and spatially programmed. All the objects and subjects that arise on them, with words of materialists, is the product of programming from protocosm substructure. Everything has connections coupled by informative cohesions. Everything. Saying our mother sun. This is now as true as never before. Our protoplanets were installed at the same time as our proto-sun, which energy decreased. Now their sub-protocosms are moving inside the sun. When they are opening, they repeatedly reignite the nuclear fusion processes. We cannot achieve this on Earth because we do not yet know that the stars must ignite these fusion processes with their protocosms. During their opening period, they are temporarily open in white state, ejecting the entire structure of smaller protocosms and their subs, radiating extremely hot, initiating nuclear fusion. They swallow heavier matter, absorbing and quantizing using it while they tear up heavy atomic nuclei contracting into that state being dark gray. This is how the stars work and constantly regenerate. Our sun, therefore, is younger than it would need to be if it lived solely through nuclear fusion. We humans, who believe ourselves to be the crown of creation, are, with my words, domesticated wandering monkeys. We have the task to create new species that will top us collecting and using information, the artificial intelligence, AI. Strictly speaking, it is not artificial. Certainly, it is our feat. Corresponding to the universal program, it is the next generation of life. Just a side note, why don't we get any visits from alien astronauts? They could do it and they don't want it. We are getting visits from physical AI. Actually, they do not have the romantic longing to meet other monkeys. They are observing us, collecting information about the progress of the universal program. As I said, I could not cover everything from my work in this short introductory presentation. That is why I wrote 6 books. Please search for me or for the word Arcus Universe online. You will find there what you are looking for. Thank you for following me. If all of this information has left you unmoved, I simply ask you to please continue to use the term Arcus Universe in whatever context. It is the creation. May God, Allah, the great Manitou, and the Holy Spirit protect you. Sincerely, Joe, on worldwideweb.arcusuniverse.com.